In your Bibles, please, this morning, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Thank you, Brother Alvin. We've come to the end of our journey through the book of Proverbs. And I hope that this has been a help to you. Hope this has encouraged you and challenged you to seek wisdom in all that we do, to fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now we come to chapter 31. We're dealing this morning with one of the more famous, if I can use that term, passages or thoughts in Proverbs. These thoughts have been depicted on plaques and in poems. There's been a song or two that's been written about these things, and many have looked to this passage as guiding principles for their lives. So this morning in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse number 10. Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. He sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, who shall be praised? Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What is the ideal woman like? Well, you may get as many answers to that question as people you ask that question. If you ask 10 people, what is an ideal woman? You may get 10 different answers. You may get a list, perhaps all containing many of the same qualities, but in a different order. If I want to know what the ideal woman is, or if you want to know what I think the ideal woman is, just look to that back corner. I prayed for her for many years. Both corners, all the way back there, the back two pews. And then, look in the mirror. I think God has blessed us with Proverbs 31 women in our church. Some say, though, the ideal woman is a woman who will obey your every whim, wait on you hand and foot, and literally worship the ground you walk on. When I'm talking in marriage counseling about an ideal woman, that is the one I describe. No, it's not. I think the word for that is male chauvinism. Others say the ideal woman can do the work of two men. And if women were prime ministers and presidents, wars would end, unemployment would be eliminated, and world hunger would be a thing of the past. And I think the word for that is neo-feminism. The truth lies somewhere between those two extremes. Well, let me say, you don't have to look very far to find a description of the ideal woman. If you have a Bible, her description is found in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. This proverb is God's description of what an ideal woman is. And God isn't a chauvinist. He's our creator. Ladies, He designed and created you, and He knows what will satisfy you and bring fulfillment to your life. So you'd be wise, ladies, if you acquaint yourself with this lady in our text this morning and make her your role model. Keep in mind, though, let me say this. This proverb wasn't written, nor are we talking about it this morning, to make anyone feel guilty or inferior or less of a woman than you are. This is the standard that you need to reach for. Not to say that in every one of these points you'll be 100% spot on. I don't know if that's really possible to be exactly what this woman depicts, but you ought to be striving to that end. You ought to be doing your best to line up with these things that we'll look at this morning. So this wasn't written to make you feel guilty or place unrealistic expectations on your life. It was written to build you up and to show you your God-given potential. So this morning, as we make our way through this proverb, I want to notice a couple of items about this ideal woman. Let's look in the first place at the person that she is. the person that she is. Some qualities about her. Notice that she is a valuable wife. She's a valuable wife. And let me just say this about that. This isn't to say that you'll never fulfill your role in life if you're single, if you're not currently married. This isn't to say that you can't be an ideal woman unless you have a husband. The Bible teaches that marriage is an honorable relationship between a man and a woman. But the Bible also places great honor on being single, unmarried. In fact, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that there are some things that a single person can do for God that a married person cannot do. So don't ever let anyone make you feel like a second-class person just because you're single. You can and are being used by God. I say this to the ladies here in the house that are single. I say this to these that may be listening, young or not so young. There was a day in my life where I thought, am I ever going to get married? Will I ever find a woman that's blind and deaf and mute all at the same time and can't see me or hear me? Well, I did. She's not blind or deaf or mute, though sometimes I think she must be in order to have been with me for these 25 years, but I thank God for her. But there was a day when I wondered, and I would look to Proverbs 32 and or 31. If you look at Proverbs 32, get you a new Bible, amen? I would look at Proverbs 31 and I would say, God, this is what I desire. And I know that somewhere, if you have a wife for me, I know somewhere there is one that lines up with these things. But if you are married, or you intend to be married, then please realize that God expects you to be valuable, like this woman in Proverbs 31. He expects you to be a valuable wife. You know what made her a valuable wife? Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She earns her husband's respect. She becomes valuable to him, notice, by working with him instead of against him. What a wonderful example. Husbands and wives, moms and dads work together as a team. They don't compete as opponents. You're on the same team. You have the same goal. Provide for and maintain a godly family. And ladies, you can be a valuable wife if you work with your husband to reach that goal of having a godly family. Notice I didn't say perfect. It's not possible. I've got the only perfect wife that there is on the earth. So the goal is not perfection, but the goal is perfection in the realm of being complete and fulfilling God's purpose. So this ideal woman is a valuable wife. Then notice this. Not only is she a valuable wife, she is a vigorous worker. She's a vigorous worker. A husband and wife should have a goal to build, provide for, and maintain a godly family, and they should work hard to reach that goal. Parents shouldn't be lazy, especially when it comes to their family. The ideal woman of Proverbs 31 isn't lazy. She works hard at home. Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her husband and a portion to her maidens. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. They say that a woman's work is never done. And that's especially true of a woman's work at home. You know what the most demanding job in the world is? Being a wife and a mother. You know that. But think about it. Mother has to be a nurse, a teacher, a child psychologist, a dietitian, a housekeeper, a cook. Takes hard work to build and maintain a family. So ladies, don't get lazy when it comes to your home. And we husbands shouldn't be lazy either. We should appreciate the hard work our wife does. Give her a hand. I'm talking about a hand. Although we should do that. But a helping hand. She works hard at her home. She works hard at her job. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles to the merchant. This verse describes a career woman. A woman in the workforce. She's busy buying, selling, trading. May shock you to realize, and this is this is a mindset, especially among our independent Baptist friends, some others as well, may shock you to realize that the Bible does not condemn a woman that works outside the home. The ideal woman of Proverbs 31 works outside the home and is commended, not condemned. Now, ladies, if you don't have to work outside the home, then take advantage of that and focus on ministering to your household and raising your children. But if you have to find employment outside the home, then don't feel bad about it. Don't feel like a bad wife or a bad mother. When our children were younger and in our home, my wife would often say, I wish that I didn't have to work. I wish I could stay home and take care of the home and the family. And I just don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss any milestones. I don't want to miss anything that happens in the lives of our family. But if you are in the place that you have to do that, then do it to the best of your ability. You're being a good wife and a good mother because you're helping provide for your family. And then notice this, verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Jackson, I want you to go back and stop the Facebook, and I'm going to stop the recording because I don't want there to be a record of what I'm fixing to say. She works hard even when she shops. I was kidding about stopping the feet, son. She works hard even when she shops. And my wife certainly takes that to heart. Although, she tells me about all the money that she saved. Oh, I got a great deal on this. And I paid half price for this or whatever. And it's that wife math. That woman math that you may have heard about. If something is normally $500 and you spend $100 for it, you save $400. No. You spent $100. You didn't save $400, you spent $100. Or if I return something and then buy something else with that money, I didn't spend any money. Or if I use the app on my phone or I use a gift card that somebody gave me, it's free because the money was already taken out of the bank.
Yes.
I didn't spend any money for it. The money was already taken out and put on the app. And she works hard even when she shops. Although, if you've got Facebook, you saw what my wife did with a few dollars the other day. Yesterday, I guess it was. And she is very good at that. And I kid her about that. She does like to shop like any woman. She's normal. She's a normal woman. She likes to shop. But she's not extravagant. You know, she doesn't come home with bags on her arms and all of that stuff. And if there is a shopping gene, that one right there got it. But you know where he uses it? At the thrift store. Comes home with armloads of stuff sometimes, says, oh, I spent, 12 cents on all this or whatever it is. But she works hard even when she shops. She knows the value of a dollar. She doesn't squander the livelihood. She doesn't say, well, I know we've got all these bills, but I just couldn't pass up that deal. If there's a dollar to spend, then she'll find a way to spend it resourcefully. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my wife, hasn't put us in debtor's prison by maxing out the credit cards and cleaning out the bank account and all that stuff. She's wise, even when she shops. So she's a valuable wife. She's a vigorous worker, and then notice this. She's a virtuous woman. She's a virtuous woman. Our society places a lot of emphasis on a woman's looks. But there's more to the ideal woman than her looks. She has substance and virtue. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She shows compassion. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She has character. She shows compassion. She has character. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel. She's a virtuous woman. She shows compassion. She has character. She gives counsel. To sum it all up, the ideal woman is Christ-like. She's Christ-like. Ladies, what an example for you to follow. Now let me say this about that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look your best. But remember, it's far more important to be a woman of substance and virtue, like the woman in Proverbs 31. I have people ask me occasionally, should a woman wear makeup? Does your wife wear makeup? And I say, my wife wears makeup on rare occasions. But I tell her, I appreciate your natural beauty. And I'm not just saying that because I'm your husband. I said that before I was your husband. I said that with the first picture I saw before I even met you. I said, she is a beautiful woman. You know what her estimation was of me? Well, at least you don't have two heads. That was her reaction on showing her a picture of me. At least you don't have two heads. But she is beautiful. So they asked me, you know, should a woman wear makeup? And my response to that is, it depends on your face. I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes you got to paint the barn. But, you know, certainly doesn't apply to any of the women in our church. Thank God for your beauty. But far, far more important than outward appearance, and you should look your best, but far more important than that is your virtue, your compassion, your character, your counsel. Ladies, you need to really get acquainted with this woman. Make her your role model. Follow her example, and she'll help you find fulfillment and satisfaction. Well, we could close the Bible here, but there's one more thing I want to mention. We talked about the woman that she is, the person that she is. Then let's look at this. The praise she deserves. The person that she is, but the praise she deserves. So for the most part, I've talked to the ladies this morning, which is the majority of the people here. Brother Alvin, my son Jackson, my son Billy, myself. We're in the minority right now. I know there may be some men watching. If you are, solidarity. So we mostly have ladies here this morning, and that's great because this is for you, to encourage you. But let me talk to the rest of us. The last four verses of this proverb say that a godly woman deserves to be praised. Husbands, teenagers, children. Do you know why we ought to praise a godly woman in our lives? Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, because it feels good. Because it feels good. Feels good to be positive, to say positive things about the people in our lives, but there are some people who just don't like to praise others. I'm talking about cranks and misfits and Scrooges. They seldom give praise. They have an inner sickness of the soul that yields criticism and complaining and sarcasm and a general joylessness. You know the kind. People that always walk around looking like they were baptized in pickle juice. I like pickle juice. I wouldn't want to be baptized in it. Having that sour look. And, you know, they walk around saying, well, thank the Lord. I'm so happy. I'm so fulfilled in my Christian life. Jesus is my Savior, and He can be your Savior too. Is that what Jesus does for you? You say you're happy. You know, maybe you need to inform your face. Let people know. But they always look around, go around with a sour look, always criticizing, never willing to praise anyone. We're going to take those people and I'll confess sometimes myself and just shake them and say, hey, wake up! Sure, there's rottenness in the world, but Jesus Christ has made us more than conquerors. And He gives us every reason to be positive and to be happy. So stop grumbling. Get yourself hooked on praise because it feels a whole lot better. And sometimes we need to praise when we don't feel like it. Sometimes we need to shout on credit. If you don't have anything to shout about, shout anyway. So we ought to praise them because it feels good. But secondly, we ought to praise them because it honors God. It honors God. Since God made the world and has that work in it, it is possible to praise Him indirectly by praising something that He made. Or praise something that exalts Him. Many times when we were rearing them, and a lot of times even now, people came to us and will come to us and say, you've got some great boys. You've got some great kids. They are a real credit to their mom and dad. And you know, that made us feel good. We felt honored. You know, and we'd say, well, you know, you should see him at home sometimes. But we felt honored that they were godly and they honored God and they honored their parents, at least publicly. You know, that's the way God feels. People ought to look at you and not say, man, what a great person that is. They ought to look at you and say, man, what a great God they have. When people hear me preach, they ought not to say, you know, he's a great preacher, which I've never been accused of that, but they ought to say, man, he helps us to see Jesus. He magnifies the Lord and makes us love Him more. It honors God when we praise a godly woman, an ideal woman. We ought to do it because it feels good, because it honors God. But then we ought to do it because it strengthens godly women. It strengthens godly women. There are always temptations that allure us away from God, and we all need encouragement from time to time. We all need to hear somebody say, you're doing a great job. When you praise the godly women in your life, you're strengthening their walk with the Lord. Now, I know that we don't do what we do for the praise of men. I know that. I know that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I know that the Scripture says if you do what you do for the praise of men, then you have your reward. I get all of that. But listen, we all need encouragement from time to time. And when somebody encourages you, or when somebody compliments you, or when somebody tells you they're thankful for you, don't say, oh, you know, don't do that. It's not me, it's God. And it is, but just take it graciously and say, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm trying to do my best for the Lord. I really am. Let me say this. God forbid that this would happen, but Suppose that godly woman in your life, your spouse, your mother, whoever it is, godly influence. Suppose something happened today to them that ended their time on this earth and we had to have a funeral for them in a few days. What would you wish then that you had told her today? Tell her before today is over. And you know, what would I say? I hear about this happening and I say, dear God, please don't let it happen to me. And some of you have experienced this, but what if something happened and I lost my wife this week? You know, I tell people all the time, God has given you a special grace that I hope He never gives me. I hope I never need it. And one of my greatest prayers on this earth is, God, please, please don't take my wife away from me. Please don't take her home before I go. But what if that did happen? What would I wish I had said to her more? What would I wish I had done for her? Well, I can do it right now. You can do it right now. Let him know you appreciate her. Praise her while you have her. You'll strengthen her. You'll honor God. And you'll add great joy to your own life. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praiseth her. Thank God. Thank God for you ladies. As I was putting this together, at various times, your faces came into my mind. As I was writing, I said, so-and-so exemplifies this. Of course, my wife was on all of them, and my mom. But others of you came to my mind. And other ladies that I've known in my life that have been a help to me came to my mind. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. So thank you. Thank you for being faithful. And it's not Mother's Day or anything like that. But I just want you to know I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Pray for direction now. We could go back to the beginning of Proverbs, start over, and talk about completely different things than what we did this time through. I don't know where we're going to go, so pray for direction. Pray that God will give us some ideas and some insight. I've had people, you know, tell me some things that they'd like to study, so we may do that. But just pray for us. Pray that God would give us direction for our Wednesday night services. I'm enjoying just picking things out of the Word of God and parking there for a while, so we may do that for a while. But pray that God would lead us, and it won't be long before we'll finish our series on Sunday morning on the Gospel of Jesus. So we're praying, if the Lord tarries this coming, that He'll continue to encourage us. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You for the day. Thank You for our time in Your Word. Thank You for our